This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Inshallah, we will look at mentioned last week that Allah Azza wa Jal explicitly tells us the main purpose of Ramadan in the very same verse in which He obligates the fast of Ramadan. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. O you who have believed, fasting is prescribed for you, as it was to those before you, so that you will gain taqwa. We also discussed last week how taqwa means to construct a barrier to keep you far away from what Allah does not like. Because it involves staying far away from the haram, taqwa is often translated as the fear of Allah. But it's not just fear. Taqwa also involves being proactive. It involves vigilance. It means we can't live our lives in cruise control, because evil is not stationary. It will try to find us. And so our situation is like a nation that is surrounded by hostile forces, conspiring to weaken and eventually conquer us. Can we sit back and really just enjoy life? Is it responsible or even realistic to hope that if we mind our own business, we will be left alone in peace? And if the answer is no, then why would we think that our lives are any different when we know for a fact that the devil is real and that each one of us has weaknesses waiting to be exploited? Taqwa involves foreseeing the ways that the devil and your own worst inclinations can bring you down. And it requires calm, careful planning and strategy to avoid those dangerous pitfalls. This aspect of careful planning and vigilance is why taqwa is sometimes translated as consciousness or awareness. In today's idiom, it is to be truly woke. Ramadan gives us the time and clarity we need to take stock of ourselves and make these types of plans. If taqwa requires planning, it also requires practice. And that's what we intend to focus on today. Taqwa is not a moment's triumph, but rather a process and a skill that must be developed until it becomes a habit and a reflex. In other words, there's an aspect of taqwa that involves discipline. Taqwa has to involve discipline because life is full of tests. Allah Azza wa Jal has promised us that these tests would come. Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. We will certainly test you with some parts of fear and some hunger and loss of property and loss of life and loss of crops. So give good news to those who patiently endure. Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us what to expect. Doesn't this verse cover almost anything that could possibly happen to us in this life? Fear, hunger, loss of wealth, loss of life, loss of property. Allah promised us that this would happen. The existence of these tests in our lives does not necessarily mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates us or that He's trying to punish us. In fact, Allah Azza wa Jalla told us that this comes with the territory of professing belief. Allah said in Surah Al-Ankabut, أحسب is cheap. People can claim anything. People can claim they believe. People can claim that they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His last prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But where is the proof? The proof is in our actions. We can't just talk the talk. We have to walk the walk. We have to be put to the test to distinguish between the people who really believe and the people who are just playing around. Whether we pass or fail the tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already preordained for us is largely a result of how disciplined we are. Discipline is like a muscle. The more that we use it, the stronger it gets. When we exercise discipline, we're building up an increased capacity to face a larger test further down the road. Taqwa doesn't just appear out of thin air. It's like a savings account. Every day you need to put something into it, and one day something will happen where you need to withdraw from that account to pass the test. And if you haven't been saving up this whole time, then you're not going to have enough to pay the bill when the time comes. If we can recognize this, then all of a sudden, every single choice that we have to make has a new meaning. Every time you want to reach for that cigarette and have a smoke, every time you scroll through your news feed and see people dressed indecently, every time your spouse asks you to do something you really don't feel like doing, let's forget halal and haram for just a second. Think about how you react and ask yourself, does this build my discipline? Am I saving up for tomorrow? أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله على إحسانه والشكر له على توفيقه وامتنانه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له تعظيما لشأنه وأشهد أن نبينا وسيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله الداعي إلى رضوانه صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وإخوانه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Discipline and taqwa will save us from humiliation in this life and the next. Demonstrating this is a story that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself told, narrated in Sahih Bukhari. Once upon a time, there were three men who were walking when it started to rain. They took shelter in a cave to get out of the rain, but a boulder tumbled down from above the mountain and came to a stop right at the mouth of the cave, trapping them inside. They started brainstorming how they could get out of the situation. It was very likely that no one would ever find them there, and they would die of hunger and thirst. One of them said, "Let's all try to think of a good deed that we did purely for Allah. If we ask Allah by virtue of these righteous deeds, maybe, just maybe, He will move the boulder for us." So they decided to try it. The first of them said, "Oh Allah, I used to live with my parents who were very elderly, and my wife and my children. I was responsible for all of them. I would always prioritize serving my parents over the rest of my family. If I went to fetch milk, I would serve my parents first before my wife and children. One day I was delayed when I went to fetch milk from the herd, and it wasn't until evening return. When I arrived, I saw that my elderly parents had already fallen asleep. I stood there, waiting for them, not knowing what to do. I didn't want to disturb their sleep, nor did I want to serve my children before them. And my children were whimpering at my feet. They wanted the milk too. I ended up standing there until dawn, out of my duty to my parents. Oh Allah, if that was sincerely done for you, then move this boulder just a little bit so we can see the sky. And so it happened. The boulder moved enough so the three men, they could see the sky and the sunlight. The second man began. He said, oh Allah, there was a girl. I loved her as much as a man could possibly love a woman. I tried my best to seduce her time and time again, but she always refused. I even offered her a large sum of money, and still she turned me down. Time passed, and she fell on hard times. She really needed the money, and I knew this. So I made my offer again, and finally she accepted. But then she said to me, Ya Abdullah, ittaqillah. O servant of Allah, have taqwa. Fear Allah, be aware of Allah. And don't open what is sealed, except if you have the right to do so. After she said this, I immediately stood up and walked away, leaving her the money and everything. Oh Allah, if I did this sincerely for you, then move the boulder a little bit more. And sure enough, the boulder moved a little bit more. The last of them then said, oh Allah, I used to hire workers to farm my land. When the workday was done, they would come and ask for their wages, and I would pay them. One day, one of the workers turned and left before he collected his wages. So I took his wages and I invested them. I grew crops and I sold the crops and bought animals and bred them until it produced an entire herd of animals. One day that same worker came back to me and said, Ittaqillah, have taqwa, fear Allah, be aware of Allah and don't oppress me by depriving me of my rightful wages. I said to him, look at this entire herd, take it, it's yours. He couldn't believe it. He told me to fear Allah again and to stop fooling around. I promised him I wasn't joking, and I explained to him what I did with his wages while he was gone. Then he took his entire herd with him and left. Oh Allah, if I did that sincerely for you, move the boulder out of our way. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed the boulder entirely, and the three men were able to leave the cave. Notice how in this hadith, each person was tried in different ways. The first man was tried by his love for his children. Categorically, this is a good thing. We're supposed to love our children, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have the proper degree of love. We owe our parents, especially when they are elderly and weak, we owe them an extra degree of loyalty and devotion even over our own children. The second man was tried by his lust. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created within us urges for a reason. And that reason is to motivate us to get married and to start families, to make us dutiful and responsible. Like the man in the story, we have to struggle against situations that promise us fun with no strings attached, that tempt us with the sweetness of romance without any possibility or responsibility or accountability that Allah knows that we need. The third tested by his wealth. It is significant that the situation here is a little bit ambiguous. He tried to pay the wages, but the worker disappeared. How easy would it have been for him to adopt the attitude of, sorry, you should have taken your money. You snooze, you lose. Maybe in our society, he would have made the workers sign some sort of waiver, some fine print requiring them to take their money right away. That's what we would have done. Anyway, we can certainly see a rationale for keeping the money and forgetting about the worker entirely. To keep that worker in mind and protect his interest, even to the detriment of our own, takes a proactive form of discipline and taqwa that cannot be misled or confused by an ambiguous situation such as this. A person of taqwa, a person of principle and discipline, knows that we don't pay people's wages just because they ask for them. We pay people wages because it is their rights. All three men had to make a decision when no one else was looking. Maybe the parents would have never known if the first man had served his children first. Maybe they wouldn't have cared. Maybe no one would have ever discovered what the second man would have done with the woman he loved. Maybe the worker never comes back to collect his wages. It didn't seem likely at the time. All these choices were made in secret, with nothing apparent to be gained from them. That is discipline. That is taqwa. The righteous actions we do that do not benefit us at all in this world, the righteous actions that actually contradict our individual self-interest, that is discipline, and that is taqwa. Fasting Ramadan goes hand in hand with building discipline and building taqwa. At any moment of the day, you can cheat. No one is watching. You can sneak a drink of water or sneak a bite to eat, and no one will know. The only thing that stops someone from doing this is their discipline and their taqwa. And so Ramadan is a reminder that we all have it in us. We all have a certain amount of discipline, but it's up to us to make the decisions every day that will develop and strengthen that discipline until we are prepared for the grief and the fear and the loss that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised us that would come our way. Everyone can do it. It can be something other people might not consider very significant. I'll share one final story from one of my professors in Medina. He said that when he was in school, he and his best friend were always the two best students in the class. They would always compete to see who got the best grades. One day they received their grades for a test that they had taken. When they went to compare their tests, one of them noticed that the other had gotten points taken off because he had left a question blank. This for them was something very, very strange. In all the years they had known each other, neither of them had ever left a question blank before. At least they would have taken a guess, hoping to get some partial credit. He asked his friend about it, and his friend started to explain. He said that when he was taking the test and he was trying to remember the answer to that question, his pen rolled off his desk and fell onto the floor. He leaned over to get his pen, and his eyes accidentally fell He couldn't help it. It was automatic. All he saw was a single word on that test, and the entire answer came back to him. And all of a sudden, he remembered. He told his friend, "I was afraid that if I put down my answer after I had seen the other test, that it would be cheating. I was afraid Allah would ask me about the points I would have gotten for that answer. And so I left it blank instead." No one else saw what happened. No one would have known. And there would have been plenty of reasons to justify writing the answer anyway. "Oh, I knew it all along. I just forgot for a moment. I'm a good student. I need the good grade because I'm trying to get into a good university, etc., etc." But he took the high road. He made a decision in secret. He strengthened his discipline. He exercised his taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never humiliates the people of taqwa. This Ramadan, let's all try to identify the moments when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these opportunities to build our discipline and our taqwa. Let's try to recognize them and take advantage of them and take the steps to rebuild our wall so that we leave this Ramadan stronger than ever. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad kama amara Rabbuka.